Welcome,
Love
friends and
Talk
family.
Radio.
Right. Welcome, friends and family, to Straight Talk with Blair Nash and Ted Santos. And this is the radio station made for men by men. But if you're a lady, I promise you won't want to miss it. And today we're going to have a topic that may be one of the most anticipated topics about relationships. I'm Ted Santos, and this topic will be a journey. I'm going to be your co-pilot, and I'm sitting side by side with Blair Nash. Blair, say hello to everyone.
Good afternoon. Well, good evening. Good evening, everybody. Hope everyone has had a great week. Excited about the show. Just waiting to hear from what you got to say, Ted.
Yeah. Our topic is, what do men really want from women? And there are all kinds of thoughts, and we've had so many conversations so far in our previous shows about what women think about men and what they've been taught. And then we talk about what men are taught to do for women. So I think a lot of times there are assumptions about what men really want. And today we're really going to, you can say, hear it from the horse's mouth. Today we have a lot of men who want to talk about this topic. So it's going to be interesting to see the lines light up, because when I posted this on social media, it was really interesting to see the amount of response I would get from phone calls and inboxes. So we want to talk about what men really want, and we want men to talk about it. And this platform really is created for one, for guys to be able to talk openly and honestly about the things that they want out of a relationship. We've talked about this before, there's so many platforms for women, and we created one for men. And one of the challenges we have in society, there are quite a few young men who have grown up without fathers, and some of them haven't seen the example of a man loving a woman, or a man and woman coming together, working together. And they may not even really fully understand what they should expect from a woman, or what their real needs are. So if you're a woman and you have an adult son, I strongly encourage you to get your son in front of the computer and click on the link and listen to us. We'd also like to hear his thoughts about what he thinks a man should want. But it's going to be really good to hear some of the guys who are either married or in relationships and hear them talk about what they really truly want from a woman. So instead of Blair and I giving you all of our thoughts, what we're going to do is more facilitate this conversation. So not only do we want the guys to call, but you ladies who believe you have cracked the code for what men want, we really would like you to call in and share what you have successfully done with your husband or your boyfriend, and how you've made relationships work. So we want to hear from both men and women. And for you ladies who are not really sure, don't fully understand men, this is a great opportunity for you to hear straight from guys in a very open and honest way. So, Blair, before we open up the lines, do we have any calls, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, we actually have three calls already. The only thing, let me just say for those that are listening, we will definitely get to you and everything. So even if it's, you know, a minute or maybe it might be 5 or so minutes, we promise we will get to you. So just hold the line, and if you can, just be patient. I appreciate it. Everything you said is absolutely
correct. So what's the number?
Yeah.
Also, what's the number, Blair, also?
There's one at 614, one is a 609, and one is a
848. No, the number for people to call.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're like, what's the number? I'm sorry. My bad, dude. The guest call-in number is 323-642-1387. I'll run it back. Area code 323-642-1387. Do you got that?
Okay. Yep. Go ahead. Now, you were going to say something. You were going to add to.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was just echoing what you had mentioned in the fact that, you know, I even mentioned in my last book, that I you know, I go around and speak to different women that, you know, whether it be in forums, whether it be, you know, book clubs, whether it just be in kind of, you know, conversations where, you know, it may be, you know, maybe, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50 women or whatever. And one of the common questions that I ask them, I say, what do men want? You know, the first thing they blurt out, and I've said this before, they blurt out sex and food. And I say, that's not correct. That's not correct, ladies. And what I ask women to do is to hear men out, because, yes, right, that is important to men. It's important to men, but it's not the cake. It's the icing. So what I just try to help women to understand is, you know, you really need to listen to what guys tell you. You know, because guy can get sex anywhere. That's not hard at all. So if that's your end, if that's the way that you work your hand to kind of, you know, get into this guy, it's going to be very short-lived. So the one thing I just tell women is just, you know, listen to men. Hear what they have to say. Hear the different things, because in relationships, there's a lot of moving parts. And I always kind of equate it to an engine. You know, if you can have an engine, you can have your carburetor and your starter and your all the different components. But if you are missing a spark plug, then your engine is not going to run properly. You know, if you're missing, you know, all these things, but you're missing transmission fluid, your engine is not going to run properly. It doesn't matter the fact that you have, you know, 20 other pieces and parts to that engine. If you don't have a really critical piece to that, when the car breaks down and starts overheating, then, you know, you're in a quandary. So one of the things that I just tell women is just, you know, listen to men. So, you know, I'm with you, Ted. I mean, I want it to be a conversation where, you know, women hear what men have to say. As I always say, not scrunch up your face, not look at it like, that ain't right. Just really hear what men have to say. These are, you know, whether it's myself, whether it's the, you know, the callers that come on, these are men who actually know what's going on. They know what they're talking about. And we're just here to give you some pointers and tips. So that's it. I'm going to kick it back to you.
Yep. And, you know, at the end of the show, you and I can sort of summarize what we've heard and then give our own perspective. But what I like is that we don't influence anyone. Like, we just let people make the calls and state where they stand and what they need.
Right. Absolutely, absolutely. Let's while we're here and everything, let's see if we can get just a couple calls real quick. Go right ahead, caller. You are calling from an 848 area code. You are live on the air. Go right ahead.
848. Yeah. My name is Dwayne, and you know, I've been married over 20 years now. You know, and it's true what you said about how, in the beginning, women think, you know, it's all you want is sex. But now, as, you know, years go on, you know, we got four kids. And, my wife is always saying, well, you know, if you want it, it's yours. Jump on, jump off. That's not what I want. You know, I like a little affection. You know, I want to feel wanted. You know, and then sometimes she may say, well, you know, you act like a little sissy. And you know, for me, that's a turnoff. You know, like, you know what, let's just forget it. You know, like, if we go out to dinner, have a good time, and we come home, all of a sudden, you know, she takes her clothes off, puts on the pajamas, and then first thing, hit the tablet, you know, playing a game. And, you know, I'm like, come on, let's finish the night out. I mean, you know, we don't have to necessarily have sex, but let's cuddle, you know, let's talk, you know. And one of the things I asked her, I said, you know, do you know me? You know, she says, yeah, I know you better than you know yourself. So if you know me, then you should know what I like, you know. And I'll tell her, I don't know you, you know. And if she'll say, well, you should know me. I say, okay, I don't. So tell me what you like. And then she'll say, well, I don't know. So if you don't know, how am I supposed to know?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So the relationship is like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my wife. I know my wife loves me and everything. But I'm going to tell you, from the beginning, we used to have sex all the time. I mean, you know, I would if I had to work late, come home, you know, she would surprise me with, you know, something nice on, you know, and I told her, I said, the only reason you probably did that was to make sure I wasn't out there. And let me tell you, my wife probably was counting the sperm count, like, you know, okay, you're missing one out of a million. Where did that go? You know, you short one sperm. Yeah, you know? And I'm
Dwayne, let me just interject real quick. You mentioned, how long did you say you've been married again?
Like over 21 years.
At 21 years. First of all, let me congratulate you. That's an awesome feat. I mean, just a, I mean, nowadays when we talk about marriages lasting 3 to 5 years, I mean, 20 years is I mean, that's an anomaly nowadays. So first of all, hats off to you. That's tremendous.
Thank you. Absolutely.
My follow up question I just want to ask is, you mentioned that it kind of, you know, went from, you know, her being, you know, hot one that just, you know, dressing all nice and everything, to now she says she puts on pajamas, gets a tablet, just, you know, crawls up in the bed and everything. Was that something that happened, like, right after you got married? Was it, like, years down the road? When did you notice that change began to happen?
I think it was after maybe about 10 years, 12 years. My wife had a miscarriage. You know, and
okay.
Like 8 months. So I don't know if that affected her in a sense, the miscarriage. And I understand that. You know, I think I took it more harder than she did. You know, but you know, the thing is, life. You know, life doesn't end. You know, marriage doesn't end. We just got to keep going. You know, and like I told her, I love her more now than I loved her when I first met her, you know.
Okay. Wow.
So there's a difference.
So Dwayne, one of the things I hear is there's an intimacy that you like to have with your wife, and maybe I'm saying this the wrong way. Maybe sometimes she takes you for granted and says, well, she already knows you and you know her already. But you like to keep that intimacy that really made the relationship strong in the beginning.
Right. Yeah. That's what I like
to do.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I like to surprise her. She doesn't like surprises, you know? And if I do surprise her, you know, or we get into a disagreement, it's almost like, well, what did you do for me? You know, you tell me what you want me to do, I'll do it. You want me to cut my hair, I'll go get a bald, I'll shave it. You know, one time I was asked her, I said, is that what you want me to do? She was like, yeah. So when I got ready to go to the barber and I told her I was going to get it shaved, she was like, no, don't do that. Don't cut it off. You know, just get your regular haircut. So
Dwayne, I hear a couple of things, Dwayne. So one thing that I said was intimacy. The other is consistency that you like to have. So there was a way that she engaged you as your wife and your lover, and she would surprise you, and she stopped doing that. She would say she wants something,
right,
and then she says she doesn't want it. So you want consistency, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to make an assumption that might have been one of the things that she was in the beginning and that attracted you to her. Is that correct?
Right. That's correct. Yeah.
So what about what's the, you know, you've met plenty of women. So what was the thing about your wife that made you choose her? Like that's, I like to get a sense of what is it you got from her, you needed from her, that had you choose her over other women.
Well, for one,
put a ring
on her finger. She was strong minded. I mean, you know, she was there. You know, she always thought about me as well as I thought about her. But you know, she was family oriented. You know,
okay.
She knew what she wanted. She knew what she wanted. You know, as far as like relationship and a man. You know, and
interesting.
You know, and you know, when we started out, you know, because she's from the island, so when we started out, she wasn't gonna stay in this country. She was here just to make some money and then leave. But then, you know, she met me and everything just changed, you know. But, I mean, if I, you know, I'm in business for myself. So sometimes the business might be slow, but she never, ever complained about the finance, you know, because it's like, you know what? We went through some hard times, but then all of a sudden that, you know, like all of a sudden it just, that door just opened up and everything is good. So she's been with me through the bad times. She's been with me through the good times. And actually when we met, I had a hoopty, you know, I had an accident with I had a new car, got into an accident, got total. So I brought a hoopty. And she stayed with me with that hoopty where, you know, I had one girl tell me, you know, had she known it was a hoopty, she wouldn't have never got in the car. And, you know, I was like, hey, you don't have to worry about getting in my car again. You know, I took her to McDonald's and that was it.
Wow.
You know, so oh, you know.
Blair.
Yeah.
Sure, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, I was
so,
like,
you know.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish your point. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So to me, you know, when she, it didn't matter what I had, you know, and what we did, we built a foundation together. And that's one of the things I love about it because we built that foundation. We have two kids, you know, she had one previous, I had one previous, you know, and then we have two together, you know, and, you know, I raised her son. I call him, he's my son, and I raised him when he was little. So,
nice.
You know, yeah,
okay.
So it's a, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Really good. Good share. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Blair,
I appreciate
anything you want to say?
No, I was going to say we have a few more callers. Dwayne, I appreciate you calling in. And again,
thank you
for sharing the story about the
20-year
marriage. Just real quick, where were you calling from again, Dwayne?
Calling from New Jersey.
New Jersey, awesome. Okay. Dwayne, thank you very much for your call. You have a great evening, man.
All right. You too. Thank you.
All right. Thanks much.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. We are going to take another call here. Bear with me just a minute. We have someone calling in from 609 area code. 609 area code, go right ahead with your call, with your question or comment, please.
609 area code. You're on the air.
Hey, I was just listening to the show. You know what I'm saying? It's pretty good.
Hey, thank you.
All right. That's not a problem. Thank you. Thank you for listening in. All right.
Well,
we're going to go to the next caller.
We're
going to go to the next caller. We have a area code 404 calling in. 404, you are on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, what's up, Straight Talk? This is Troy Vaughn with Ringside. How are you doing?
Hey,
Troy, how
are you? Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good show thus far. Kudos to you, brothers, and really enjoying the information.
All right, cool. Did you have a comment, question, or anything, or what's going on?
Oh, man, I'm just soaking everything in, man. You know, definitely a subject matter that needs to be sauteed, you know, of course, as much as possible because, you know, this information is vital to, you know, committed relationships, courtships, marriages, so on and so forth. So I'm just soaking everything in right now and really appreciating the dialogue or just the convo in general.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Where are you calling from?
Calling from Atlanta.
Atlanta. Okay, cool. Troy, what do you, in your opinion, what do you think that men really need from women? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, just from experience and, you know, things that I've encountered and observations, I think as mature men, you know, of, you know, adult age, I believe one of the biggest things that I think is necessary for a thriving relationship or marriage is communication. And, you know, what communication do you hope and desire to find a woman who is proficient in communications? When I say that, someone who is open to sharing their thoughts and their opinions as well as, you know, feelings and whatnot concerning you know, things prevalent to the relationships and otherwise, because that's important as far as, you know, the communication is always going to be a vital component in any relationship, regardless if it's romantic or friendship, platonic, whatever you have, you know, because without that, there is no course of action, there is no evaluation, there is no assessment, there's no calibration, you know, if need be. So communication, I feel like, is one thing that is mature, forward-thinking men, you know, that that's something that is a big necessary as far as a woman, you know, in addition to other characteristics I feel are just as vital, you know, loyalty, honesty, trustworthiness, you know, and lastly, I would say, and just from my own experience, I mean, one of the things that I know a lot of men look for in a woman, you know, in addition to a partner, spouse, you know, and a friend, you know, if there's a woman you're thinking about starting a family with, you know, you want to look at it like, okay, would she also be a great mother, i.e., would she be a great role model for a child, you know, particularly if you have a daughter. You know, one of the things that I think a lot of people are don't give enough credit and understanding is the knowledge that the wife, you know, the mother is a daughter's first example of what a woman is, first example of what a wife is. And so as men, regardless of how a woman looks, she can be curvaceous, she can have, you know, everything proportioned, you know, physically. You may even get along with her, you know, she may be into the same things you're into, but in addition to thinking about her as a wife, you got to ask yourself, how would you feel if you had a child with this woman, particularly a daughter? How would you feel as an idea of your daughter growing up to be just like her? If you can't emphatically, you know, give a thumbs up, hell yeah, that's what I want, then that ain't the woman you need to be with.
I will, let me just, and I want to go to you, Ted, after I make a quick statement. First of all, let me just say that we have other callers on the line. If you could just hold the line for a minute, we promise we will get to you. But the one thing I will just say to you, you made a very good point, Troy, about is she a quality woman? That actually is something that goes back. This is something I talk to men about, that, you know, yeah, you want to go out here and do all these things and have, you know, have sex randomly and whatever. But when all of a sudden she pops up and is like, hey, I got a kid on the way, you know, you're the father. Now you're looking at this woman like, I don't want to be no, you know, father, you know, I don't want to be no father with this woman. Well, this is, that shows a lack of discipline. That shows that you're not responsible. So to the men, I would just say, be more responsible with where you, you know, indiscriminately have sex and everything, because these are the repercussions that happen when you just, you know, have no, you know, have no discipline or anything. So, Ted, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on discipline, and there are enough in today's world, there are enough ways to prevent pregnancy. I mean, you know, unless you're just 9 years old and don't know what you're doing, by a certain age, you understand how a woman gets pregnant. So there's ways to participate in safe sex, whether it's condoms or any other thing you do. But saying it's just an accident is really a little bit, especially an accident with someone who, with what Troy is saying, you don't think she would be a great role model for a child, especially a daughter. Be more thoughtful about how you engage that woman sexually.
Very naive. Very nice. Troy, thank you much for calling in. And Troy from Atlanta, enjoy the rest of your evening, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Troy. Take care.
Talk to you later.
No problem.
You too.
All right. We're going to go to the next caller. The next caller is calling from area code 908 area code. Caller, you are live. Go right ahead.
908, you're on the air.
908, going
on
once.
908?
Nah, not on mute. Going once.
No, the agent has us on mute on their phone.
Oh, well, okay.
Okay.
Well, all right,
maybe
we'll
they're
go to
just
the next
listening.
Caller.
Yeah,
yeah,
they
okay.
just want to listen.
So,
okay.
Okay. We're going to go to area code 609. 609, you were live and on the air. Go right ahead.
609 area code. We're talking to you. You're live on the air. We have another listener.
Okay.
Who does a little shy. We have a shy listener.
No problem. all right, we got let's try this one. We have area code 908. You were on the air live. Go right ahead.
Another New Jersey. Come on, New Jersey. Wait, 908. You're on the air.
All right, going once, going twice, nothing. We will try one more. Give me a second. All right, we're going to try area code 786. Area code 786, you are live on the air. Go right ahead.
786.
Hello, Blair. This is Monica McCoy. How you doing?
Hey,
hello,
Monica.
How are you?
I'm doing all right, guys. And Blair and Ted.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Can you hear us okay?
So are you?
I can hear you guys fine.
Awesome.
So, Monica,
so
are you wanting?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
Ted.
I was going to ask you, are you one of the ladies who has cracked the code for understanding what men want?
Absolutely not.
you're not.
I know generally, I'm just keeping it real. I know generally speaking, men are simple creatures. I've dated men who, some who will be straightforward with what they want, and I've dated some who want to say what they think I'm going to hear just to play games. So it just depends on the guy. I think there are generalizations, like, you know, every man wants, you know, a woman that's, you know, going to, like, give him peace or, you know, be respectful to him, a woman who he can relate to, we can trust, loyalty, respect, all that jazz. But I don't know. It's fading. I don't think it's so much the same as it was, say, 50 years ago.
So the first guy who called, he said that, yeah, he's married 20 years, and sometimes he wants to feel like his wife wants him, like he doesn't want to have to be the one to chase her. He's fine with creating intimacy, but he wants more of a two-way engagement. Do you think that's important? Like, a lot of women feel like, well, you're the hunter, you're supposed to always chase and pursue me. Some women don't like the idea that they have to pursue a man, even if they're married. What are your thoughts? How do you feel about that?
If we're in an exclusive relationship, I'm single. I've never been married. I've dated, but I've never been married or engaged. I think, you know, it is important for a woman to let a man know that she wants him as well. Just like as a woman. I mean, I say, if I'm in a relationship with you, don't stop doing the things that you've done that results in us getting together. I've had a couple guys do that before. I had one ex. They would tell me, I was like, oh, why did you stop doing XYZ? They would tell me straight up in my face, oh, I did that just to get you. Oh, so a representative. But I do feel that women, you know, like, hey, I put in some effort to, you know, show a guy, hey, you know, you want him too. You know, he's still sexy to you, say, I've been married for several years. So he's still sexy to you. He's still, you know, the guy that you want. You're happy you married him or whatever. It shouldn't be, I don't think, always a man being like, hey, baby, let's get to, you know, do whatever it is, you know, whether that's sexual or just, having an intimate conversation.
Right.
I mean, it shouldn't just be on one. I don't think that should always be just on one person.
So let me ask you, here's a, Blair, I just a follow-up. Here, this is maybe a tough question. So if Monica, you said if you're married, you should do that. So if a man wants that from his wife and you don't give that to him before you're married, how does he know you will ever give that to him?
Okay. Now, when I said married, I'm looking more like as a long-term relationship. I don't mean, oh, you're only going to get that when you're married and that's it. I mean, I think you should show it, you know, when you guys are in the dating phase as well. Because like you said, how do you know you're going to get that from a person when you're married? Like, don't, as a man, don't be a provider only like when you're married. Because if you only provide when you're married, then I'm not even going to marry your ass because you're not showing me the things that I would require for a man.
That's taking us down a different path. But you're okay if you are in an exclusive relationship, not married. You are comfortable initiating intimacy.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, perfect. Blair, I'm sorry. What were you going to ask or say?
Yeah, so let me ask you. I'm going to kind of put you on the spot just a little bit. So you mentioned that you know, one of the things that Ted said, you know, he said, do you know the cheat codes to kind of how to really deal with men? And you mentioned, you know, you said, it's not something I'm aware of. Okay, no problem. So my question to you is, do your lady friends, your women friends, do they, when you talk to them over the years, have they actually said, you know, have they sat down, and are, is that even a common theme or a common question that they come up with? How do I, what are the kind of things that men want? Or is it more of a conversation of, these are the kind of things that I want from a man? What do you typically find is more of a common thing that happens with the women?
I think it's like my experience has been more of what women want from a man, because as women, we are women.
Interesting.
And we know what we
right.
want. You know, just like a man is a man, and he knows what he wants. And people in general, this is men and women, are going to be more about for themselves. That's just, you know, what is it, self-preservation, that's just human nature. That doesn't mean you don't care about the other person. But I know myself better than I know some guy, you know what I'm saying, because I am me. And I can say, oh, you know, these are things that I look for in a man or what have you. But it's not, and in my experience, it's not the case of other women. In my experience, it hasn't been like a huge conversation. Oh, yes, you know, men want all these things, and as women, we must give a man these things. Or have, like, I have friends who I've had these types of conversations with. But, you know, it's for me, as a woman, I'll listen if a guy is like, oh, you know, this is what I look for. That's great. Like, let me know what you're looking for, what you want or require. But I've had this happen before where I'm giving, and use the sitting back receiving, and that's a horrible feeling. So I want to make sure that I'm not just the one doing all of this, whatever it is, and you're just sitting back receiving just because, you know, lack of a better term, because you're a human being with a penis, and I'm supposed to because I'm the man. Like, no, bro, we're supposed to, it's both of us taking and taking.
Right.
So Monica, I'm going to put you on the spot again. So part of the reason that we're having this conversation is because we as men collectively normally talk about what we are responsible for providing to a woman, and we understand that from little boys. And I've from a young age, I would ask women, what did you learn? Because I learned a lot about what I'm supposed to do for you. What did you learn about what you're supposed to do for me? So when I hear women saying I'm giving, the question is, how do you know you're giving him what he wants?
And that's a good question. And that's why communication is important on both parts. And it's important for people, both men and women, to ask each other, what do you want? What are you looking for? And it's important for both people to say that to the other person. I've said it. And I've had this discussion with women where it's like, and I think it might have something to do with men just being taught from young, you know, you're a man, you have to man up, whatever that means, that man, you can't communicate or whatever. I've had experiences where a lot of men are not great communicators. And it's like, if I'm asking you these types of questions about yourself, I'm trying to get to know you, and you just put up these walls. I got a call to do about this earlier today. This one guy I used to date a few years back. You know, I'm trying to get to know him, and he's putting up these walls, and I said, you know what, there's something I can do here, and I walked away, because it's like, if you're not going to communicate with her, which is a fundamental, foundational piece of part of a relationship, then I'm not going to hope and pray that you're going to communicate with me one day. That's you, that's who you are, and that's fine. Don't expect me to stick around. So if, as men, you guys want ABC things from us, hey, we're all about here. Communicate this with us. We're not psychics.
So
let us.
So Monica,
what
are you getting from these calls today? Listening to these men.
I heard the first guy, talk about his putting in marriage. Like I said, I've never been married before. I don't know. You kind of hear things like when marriages were like when they're long. It's like, oh, she didn't do the things she used to do, or kind of seems like it's just not as exciting as it used to be. So I'm getting that maybe marriage is at the beginning, or even when you're dating and at the beginning, when you're newlyweds, it's all exciting and all this and the other. But then as time goes on, it just kind of gets into a predictable routine. Like, well, this is what you're doing.
Right.
Let's just live this thing called life and just, you know, ride it out.
All right. Good enough. So let's see if you can get anything else from the other guys who call in.
Monica, we do thank you for your time, and I hope you keep listening to the show.
Okay. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
All right, enjoy your
bye-bye.
Evening. Okay. So, yeah, we had a number of different callers and everything that had some stuff to say. So let me try to take one more call, and then I want to have some you and everything said. So hold on just a moment. We have a caller, area code 404, area code 404. You are live. Go right ahead.
404.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
Okay. How are you? Who's calling?
My name is Karell Dobru, so I know Blair, and I know Ted Santos. Thanks, Ted, for inviting
Karell
me on.
How are you?
How you doing? What's your name again?
Karell Dobru.
Oh, hey, Karell, what's going on, man? How are you?
Well, thanks for calling, Karell. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Ted,
yeah,
for inviting me on.
Go right ahead with your comment, sir. Or question.
Yeah, so my comment is what I desire in a woman, and I have it in a wife, was one, I need my woman to be a woman who grew up with a solid father and household. Number two, I need a woman who is financially fit. Number three, I need a woman who is physically fit. Number four, I need a woman who is mentally fit.
Karell, let me just ask you this. Can you explain to me just a little bit? I mean, you don't have to go into long detail, but just kind of give maybe 10 seconds on each, why each is important. Because all of those, that whole list is tremendous. But I just don't want to go all the way down. And then, so tell us why number one is important, if you don't mind.
Let's talk about number one. Number one is I need a woman who grew up with a solid father in a household, because I grew up with a solid father in a household. So I was trained in the ways of manhood. And what I have found in dating women here in America, and I've lived in seven different countries, and I find that a woman who grew up with a solid father in the household understands the ways of a man, and therefore, when I show up, they readily identify me if I resemble that of someone, typically her father, whom she looked up to and loved and respect as a man ahead of her household. So I don't have to go back and reverse engineer all the bull crap that she might have went through or what she think a man is. She already knows what a man is because she grew up that solid father. So that's number one.
Right.
Number two, I need a woman who is mentally fit. So I'm an educated man. I have a bachelor's, master's, postgraduate degree, and I feel here in America as a black man, if you don't have an education, it's almost like a cradle to the grave. An education doesn't guarantee you a job and a career, but it absolutely provides you with an opportunity to compete for an opportunity with something that is objective on the table that says, hey, I've been here, I've done that, this is why I should be able to compete for an opportunity. So when I women I've dated without an education versus the women I've dated with an education understands the power of putting that on the table, especially as a man, which means that when I go and compete for a job, I am more likely able to provide for my family versus a person who doesn't value an education. So when I tell my son or daughter, hey, you need to get an education, look at what I've done, I also can say, well, look at your mother, look at what she's done. My wife is an orthopedic surgeon, you know, so I can look at my daughter and say, hey, your mother is the standard, not Nicki Minaj and all this other crap out here. Here is the standard right here in your household. Look at the life that we're able to provide for you. Tracking? So,
I would assume mentally fit means just because you went to college doesn't mean you're done educating yourself. Education is perpetual.
Well, education is continuous, but
getting
an education from a full 4-year solid institution and a skill set that you can put your credentials down, because everybody can, I'm an educator, but when you can put something when you have something on paper that says I've been there and done that. Now we're talking objective versus subjective. And so that's what I'm talking about. So the characteristics I'm talking here today are objective things that can be hardcore proven. This is what I've done. This is who I am. This is why I am qualified for you, right? So the third thing is financially fit. I absolutely need a woman who is financially fit. That means not necessarily have the money that I have or the earning potential I have, but someone that understands generational legacy leaving by way of having finances, understanding difference between stocks and bonds and why I should go out here and invest here versus spend that there, and understanding the difference between an asset and a liability. Again, this isn't just about me and the woman. This is about me and my woman leaving and or leading our children towards a legacy of generational growth.
So you're, I also hear you saying there's a difference between just being a consumer and an investor. If you're a consumer, you're most likely leaving debt to your children. There's
right,
no economic power in that.
Yeah, so what I would like to say is more so a consumer and a producer. You know,
okay,
I
good.
Would like to,
okay.
I believe in being a producer, right, versus being a consumer. Again, like I said, I live in several different countries, and here in this country, especially our people, we are most comfortable with being consumers. We get that Versace bag, but we don't have money to pay our mortgage or our rent. Tracking. So I need a woman that understands, hey, this is what we need to do here with this versus going out and spending and giving away, especially outside of our community.
Okay. All right. These are all important. And then you said physically fit was the last one you said.
If I'm not attracted to you, I'm not interested in you. That's just as simple as it gets. I've said this, I posted this on my Facebook. My wife looked at me, you know, a year or so ago, our marriage and everything. She said, hey, babe, I don't see your six-pack anymore. You know, and I was like, well, shit, you know, I'm at that time, I was, you know, I'm 40 now, I'm, you know, 38-year-old. I'm a 38-year-old man. I'm married. I said, look, if you see a 38-year-old man with a six-pack, he's hungry, he's lonely, and he's angry, and he's horny. But no, you know, when I laugh about what my wife is telling me, as an orthopedic surgeon who goes out and see people with diabetes and all that, she's not necessarily looking at it from an aesthetic perspective. She's looking at it from a longevity perspective. If I'm going to keep my husband around, there are certain things we have to eat. There are certain workout programs I have to be on because, hell, you know, guys in his family dying from hypertension and diabetes and cancer and stuff like that. So I want my husband to be in shape. Similarly with me, I'm looking at I want my woman when we go out here in Atlanta, when we go out here and we do what we do, I want her to look absolutely beautiful. And so that entails getting in the gym with her in the morning, getting in the gym in the evening time, watching what we eat, having a good time. But I want to be physically attractive to my woman. So if I'm not physically attracted to her, then I'm not interested.
So, and Carell, I'll add one thing. You know, it's also a point of responsibility. You know, we all get one body. You don't trade it in at the body store. So you're the only person responsible for it. And if your body doesn't function properly, it will affect the blood circulation and, yes, diseases, but even your decision-making capacity is affected because of your brain function. So if you are not responsible for your body, you could start to question, well, how responsible will you be for children and other things? I'm not saying it like it's the truth, but it's a question to ask.
Right. All right. I think that's very good. You know, all I can add to that, you know, but I would encourage a lot of the younger fellas, hey, listen, my daddy always taught me to be that and or whom you desire, you know. So I hope my wife continues to see something in me, and I hope I continue to be the person that I desire in my wife. And as head of the household, I have to continuously lead the way. And sometimes that comes with having hardcore truths. And then, again, that goes back to my wife having a father in the household. There are some things that a father and or a leader that's going to say that's not going to be it's not going to be on the surface very kind, like, you know, you need to get in the gym or whatever. You don't need to be eating all that. Or we're not going to buy this new furniture, this new car. We're going to do this. But we have to be that which we desire and have the balls to say what we mean what we say, but we have to lead by example. So that's all I have to add, man. I appreciate Ted asking me to come on, and you guys have a good one.
Hey, thanks, Carell. Take care. Have a good evening.
All right.
Yeah, thanks, Carell. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. All right. He dropped a lot of stuff on us today, this evening. What are your thoughts on that, Ted?
Man, I'm the financially fit. I had I know this guy was up here in New York, and his wife, he works on Wall Street, and his wife had her own dental practice. And she had several friends who were all attorneys, and we're talking attorneys making $300,000 plus. And the guy, the husband, said, "Hey, we're moving to Florida." And his wife was angry. She was mean to him for that. She didn't want to go. She kicked and screamed. And after maybe 2 years, she came back up here and hung out with her friends and saw that those women making $300,000 were living the same as they did before. They were living paycheck to paycheck, going shopping every weekend, and being basically broke, making $300,000 a year. So, bringing his wife, when she came back, she said, "I'm sorry. I now understand why you moved us away." And she still has her successful dental practice, and they are able to invest in other things. So, really big deal.
Right. You, very, very good point. One of the things that Carell had mentioned, and I just want to tag onto it for a little bit. He mentioned a little bit about, about submission. I think that's something that is kind of like, the dreaded S word. You know, women say, "Well, when you give me something to submit to, then I'll it is a two-way street." I definitely agree with it, and I think that is, when you think about the things that men want from women, that's up there. That has to be up there. Why? Because especially as black men in this world, we have a lot of odds up against us. I don't care who you are. Whether it's, someone who's living in Atlanta and you're making $200,000 a year, whether you live in Alabama or New York or L.A. or whatever, it does not matter where you live. If you are a black man in the U.S., you are up against a lot of odds. And to have your wife be in understanding and in lockstep with what you say is so true. And let me just say, it might not have been Carell that said it. I know one of the gentlemen had actually said it earlier this evening. But yeah, you have to have someone that's in lockstep with you. It's a requirement. So yeah.
I think the first caller, he said his wife has been there even though his business or finances were not always good, but she was right there, and he's been able to prosper because of that. Like, she's been right there by his side.
Yeah, and that's so true. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. I was gonna say
that's so true. When I talk to a lot of men out here, and they say, and I ask them, what is one of the things what are some things that are just necessary for you? Of course, submission is there. Being his pieces is so important. As we said almost from the very first show that we started. If I can't come home and get peace, I don't care what the hell is going on in our world. I need to have peace when I walk through that door, no question. And so if I can't have that kind of peace, if you're sitting here and if everything is cold and chilly when I walk through the door, I'm eventually not going to come home right home, and that's going to present more problems. So
right, you find peace somewhere else. Right.
Yeah, submission is important. Having a peace of mind is important. One of the other things, I don't think anyone really hit on this, is can we come together and actually put together some sort of idea that you and I, talking about your husband and wife, that you and I can have, and like Carell mentioned, start to build a legacy. Because working for a corporation or a company is fine, but as I tell people all the time, at the moment that they decide that they don't want you anymore, you could be making $100,000 a year, but now you make nothing a year. So what can you build with that individual that you can start to build an empire and a legacy from? And you don't have to start big. You might not have flashy offices. You may not have, expense accounts and all these other things. But if you can start small and say, hey, whether we have a tire business, or whether we have a business that, we're gemologists, or whether we do IT or waste management or, accounting, anything. But let's find something that we can do that we can start to build on that is isolated and totally separate from our companies so that we can start to kind of build our future. And so that is most important.
Right.
That's important to men, too. So go ahead. You can go ahead and finish what you were saying. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine. So I have another way to look at submission. I know a lot of guys say, I want a wife who will submit. And I just wonder how important that is, especially when people have such negative connotations, even though, you know, I've seen on your page a lot of women say, well, I'll submit if he can lead. And there are lots of stories about women who say that, but when it actually comes down to it, they don't want the guy to lead. They're still trying to lead, even as simple as crossing a street together. But what Carell said about growing up with a father, one of the things that could possibly happen in a two-parent household is that you see the parents cooperate and work together. So I'm less concerned about submission. I'm more concerned you know how to cooperate. So I do a lot of work in corporations. I work with executives, and corporate culture is a big deal, even in corporations. If you can't cooperate with your colleagues, it makes it difficult to accomplish anything. So if you're in a relationship, I don't care if it's husband, wife, girlfriend, part of the cooperation is being able to talk things through. I think the first caller said, you know, he would tell his wife, I want to do X, Y, and Z, and she supported. And I think in our first call, I talked about a guy who wrote a book, and the husband started a business that failed several times, and she was always supportive. And, you know, he had great jobs. She didn't have to work, but when his business failed, she had to work. But eventually, he knocked the ball out the park. So this is a woman who could cooperate. And the guy who wrote that book wrote so much about successful men who had wives who were extraordinarily cooperative, and that contributed to their success. So if a woman doesn't really understand cooperation, you know, when I meet women, and like Carell, I've lived in several other countries, and there's a culture of being a woman in the United States that you don't really see in other countries. So if you haven't lived in another country, you may just think all women are the same, but you really do see women care for men and actually know their role in other countries, and there's no shame about what they will do to take care of their man, whether it's a boyfriend or a husband. But the big thing is, will you cooperate with me? Well, can we talk things through? Can I brainstorm with you? And are we, like you said, building something? So I'm going to shut up and see if we have another caller.
I'm gonna try to take one more call before we end the show. But I wanted to ask you a question. You kind of made me think about something. So when you're talking about things like submission and the woman kind of going along with your program, and you mentioned that you know Carell mentioned he lived in different countries. You mentioned that you stayed in different countries. How did we get here? How did we get to a point where people look at this is not a black thing, just women in America. You even see women say, but just how did we get here to a point where people look at women in America and they say, these women in America are off the chain. They have, you know, they got mouths, they got this, they got that. I'm not even gonna go down the line. How did we get here? What is it that's kind of the cultural difference? What do you mean?
Carell,
I
think that's a show, because in the gym, I know guys from Latin America, and they were born and raised there, and they came here as adults, and they say when their women come here, they get corrupted. So something's happening. So I think we may be better to save that for another show, because that's a big conversation.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay, cool. All right, well, let me try to take one more call here. Hold on just a minute. We are speaking now to area code 718, area code 718. You are live and on the air.
Hello,
718. Yeah. Hello. Who's calling?
Hey, how you doing? This is John Comfort out of Queens, New York.
Hey, John. How are you? Thanks for calling, man.
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. I've been following your show from the beginning. It's really good, really insightful. So far.
Cool, very good.
Thank you.
What do you want to share with us?
What are some?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Blair.
Go ahead, Brad.
I wanted to touch on all the points that you guys have talked about so far. I myself just quit my full-time job. And excuse me, my son is in the background here, so I'm watching him right now. But I quit my full-time job this August, and I started a business, right? And my wife and I have been married for 8 years. And, you know, at first she was really, really hesitant, scared, and fearful. And there was no peace for a while, like you were talking about. But she stepped up. She got a full-time job, and she's really, you know, done everything I think she could do, you know, to support me at this time.
Very cool. Okay. Well, what do you need? Tell us what you need from a woman. What do you need from a woman? And maybe you've just answered it, but just tell us what you need in this conversation.
Oh, all right. So I need love, support, and communication.
Wow.
Those are the top three things.
Okay.
I mean, I know it's high level, but love is the top of the list. Communication breakdown, I think that everything else will break down after that. And the support, yeah, I think that speaks for itself.
Okay, awesome. Thank you very much for your call, and I appreciate you listening to us from the very beginning. And I hope you have a good rest of your evening. Thanks so much.
Wait, Blair. Hey, John, before you let him go, John.
Yep.
And John, do you feel like you're getting the support from your wife that you would like to have? Like you said, it sounds like there was a little strife in the beginning, and now she's gotten a job. And do you feel like you're getting the support that you would like to have?
Yeah, I feel like I am. I would say 95% of the time.
Very good. And how does that affect your mindset and in the way you function on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, it 100% affects just about everything I do. Even if I'm succeeding in business and I close some deals or whatever, it really doesn't give me that joy unless I know that, you know, I'm doing it for my family.
Very good.
Yeah, if she's not behind what I'm doing, then it's just kind of empty work. And that's real.
Very important. Yeah, that's good. Thank you for that.
All right, well, thank you for your call, John, and have a great rest of your evening, man.
No problem. Thank you.
All right.
Take care, John. Thanks.
We have two more calls. Our time is closing up, so we're going to move along a little quickly here. Area code 404.
Okay.
Go right ahead. 404 area code. You are live and on the air.
We have a caller at 404. Yep. That's Atlanta.
404 area. You are live and on the air.
Well,
okay, going
twice. 404.
Going twice. All right, we're going to try to do one more call here. Area code 516. 516. You are live and on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Gabrielle from Long Island, and I just wanted to make
Gabrielle
a comment.
From
I
Long
really
Island.
Appreciated. Hi there. I really appreciated what Carell said about wanting one of the requirements is having someone that was financially fit, and that's really important to single women as well. And some of us experience is that we meet men that are divorced or going through a divorce or whatever. So the divorce kind of did a job on them. So now they're coming in like not financially fit, the farthest thing from it. And, you know, it's just very difficult. I mean, because, you know, you prepare, you do everything you have to do so that you can retire in 5 to 10 years, whatever it is. And now you're with somebody, you find yourself with somebody or somebody that, you know, could be a partner, but they are nowhere near what you call financially fit. And I know it's like a whole nother can of worms, and maybe we could deal with that on another show, but that is a challenge.
Well, it's
a challenge for them as well as for the women.
You touched on that last call, Blair, when you were talking about the child support system. I mean, that part of what I think you're saying, Gabrielle, is not only child support, it could be alimony, but they've just been shredded. It could be credit from their spouse. They're financially raggedy sometimes.
Absolutely. A lot of times, you know, it's hard to go through divorce and not be, like, severely financially affected. And then you're coming into, you know, potentially coming into another relationship, and it's just, you know, it's hard for both people, I'm sure.
So can you tell us what you're getting from this call so far about what men need from women? What are you getting from it?
Well, I hear this is a man's show, and I understand what they need, and I agree with all of it. There wasn't anything that I didn't agree with, but I just found that what Carell said was like the same thing that women want. You know, we do want somebody that's financially strong. You know, I'm looking for a partner, you know, so that we can do things together and move, you know, equally. So everything
right.
that was said was very real. I loved what he said about, you know, all the things he said about how his woman, his relationship, what he looked for, even the submission aspect of it. You know, if it's mutual, if you have a man in your life that you trust to make the best decisions for you, who's not selfish, I
right.
personally wouldn't have a problem with that.
So you would submit. You would submit to that guy.
Yeah, but I also believe if you have a woman that her strength is finances, then it only makes sense that you allow her to, you know, kind of run that. You know, everybody's not good at everything, but do what makes sense is what I'm saying.
Right.
You know?
Gabriel, I want to just ask you a quick question and everything. We're going to wrap up the show here in just a few moments. You mentioned that you live in New York. I don't know exactly what part you live in, if you're in kind of more of a, like a White Plains, New York, or if you're in Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan. But
I'm in Long Island.
What? Long Island. Okay, perfect. Thank you. So in your estimation, I don't know your marital status or whatever, but what do you find that in New York, I mean, because you would think when we think of, you know, New York, we think of, you know, there's so many different businessmen around there. Do you find that there are plentiful, do you find that there's a lot of those kind of men, quality men, in the area that you currently reside?
No, not that aren't married, no.
Not that aren't married, okay. So it's typical of pretty much any place USA where, you know, there's a lot of good men there, but a lot of those men are either spoken for or they don't want to be in a relationship for the most part. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. Or they're going for, you know, a younger woman or non-committal type of situation, you know, because if they've been in a relationship or they've been divorced, they're not really interested in getting into anything too heavy.
Kind of a hookup type of thing. Okay, all right, cool.
Right.
Okay, Ted, did you have any other questions or thoughts or anything on that?
No, that was it.
No.
Give my two cents.
Okay, cool. All right, well, Gabriel, I really appreciate it. Gabriel from New York. Thank you, and have a great evening, ma'am.
Thanks for calling. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. Thank you. All right. That was Gabrielle from New York. We are coming to the close of the show, sir. Ted, what are your thoughts? That was a good show.
Yeah, it was. And it went by quick, man. That hour shot by. So, you know, some of the things that the three things that were common throughout was support, communication. Those were the two. Support and communication were big themes. Then we had love and intimacy seemed to come up. And, you know, I don't know if women really acknowledge that men are looking for love and intimacy, especially if you think men only want one thing, you know, they're actually looking for intimacy. And wanting to be desired, you know, was with that support and stand by me, going through the good and bad and being able to talk through things. It sounds like those are key components. And being responsible, I think, whether it's financially or for your own body and how you develop your own mind, I mean, ultimately you're responsible for yourself, whether you're a man or a woman.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, Correll hit on a number of different topics, you know, about the being financially together, you know, being, you know, knowing that a woman comes from a background where there was a strong male personality,
in the home. I speak on that all the time because I say what happens is a lot of women, when they meet an actual masculine man in their, you know, when they grow up, because they haven't been used to a masculine man being around them when they were in their formative years, all of a sudden they meet a masculine man when they're 20 or 25, and in a lot of ways it's a shock to them. They're kind of frightened because they haven't had a masculine person in the home. So they don't understand this is how masculine, this is how men actually talk, this is how they move, this is how they deal with things. And it's a shock to them. So I think what Carell has said is very true. It's very important to know that a woman comes from a background where there was some sort of that it was some sort of patriarchal background where the father was present, or at least there was a man present there that kind of guided the household. So he was dead on that.
Well, you know, you bring up a great point because we in the U.S., and this is touching slightly on when you say how did we get here. In the U.S., men are penalized for being men. So if you grew up
Absolutely.
Without a father in the home and you meet a man who's being masculine, you're going to call me a misogynist or sexist because I think like a man, and that's really unacceptable. Right. Not only have we penalized men for being masculine, we've penalized women for being feminine and attempted to reverse the roles. So, and I'm going to say something now that maybe not be popular, but yes, I know how to be attentive and gentle and all those things, but don't ask me to reach into my feminine side because I don't have one. If I'm in a relationship, the feminine side is you for being a woman. If you're looking for a feminine side, then you find a man who's feminine. But I have no intention of being feminine or looking for a feminine side. I'm a man. Give me the freedom to be that. And because you're a woman and you don't know what it means to be a man, don't encroach on the territory of telling me how to be masculine or to be a real man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good stuff. Good, very good callers. I preach for all the callers who are still listening. Thank you so, so much for calling in. Thank you for all the listeners. Our listenership is definitely going up each week. We just want to say thank you very, very much for taking an hour out of your week and just, you know, getting a chance to, you know, hear some different, you know, different viewpoints and listen to myself and Ted about our opinions and everything. So, Ted, are there any thoughts that you have before we close the show?
Sure. So, awesome show, awesome call. All the callers were actually great, great contribution. And my hope and intention is for the young guys who did grow up without a father and didn't get to see those examples, that you actually were able to hear guys who were somewhat seasoned. You know, we seem like we had a couple of different ages, newly married, married for a couple of decades, and that you actually get to hear another perspective from a man and what men want if you're a younger guy. And for the ladies, the intent was that you walk away with an understanding of men. And I sometimes people say, well, I already knew that. Well, part of the reason for having a show is, as a woman, if you really don't understand a man, there's nothing wrong with saying, I really don't understand men, and I'd like to get to know you. It's kind of like getting to know a guy from nothing instead of imposing your past relationships on the guy that you know now. So I thank you for the callers.
Yes, thank you very much for the callers. And I will just say tune in next week where we will have another riveting show, same time, same place, 7 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you very much, everyone, and I hope you have an awesome week. God bless.
Have a good evening. Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.